Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Have you ever thought through the moral position of our governments, allowing the proliferation of gaming, including poker machines, but being totally dependent on the tax revenue they generate to balance state budgets? Well, as you're about to hear from Tim Costello, the moral quagmire goes even deeper than that. Figures just out show how dependent political parties are on donations from the gambling industry. And keep listening for what Tim Costello has to say about proposed changes to the law that could have a devastating effect on donations to charities. Is there a double standard here?
Lovely to be with you.
Can you describe what you mean when you say dark money?
Yeah, look, dark money is monies donated to political parties that don't have to be disclosed because they're under the threshold. And with the disclosures out today, we've discovered that development and finance industries are way down because there's been, to political parties, there's been some restrictions because of the corrupting power. Gambling is way up the ladder, but the only gambling ones disclosed are all those big groups, Crown Resorts and Tabcorp, you know, 200,000 here and from Crown and Tabcorp. New South Wales clubs and hotels gave 173.
That is the industry bodies or the clubs in aggregate?
That's just the industry body.
I see, yes.
But the dark money is all the actual individual clubs that we believe are actually giving political donations under the limit that they have to disclose. So we think the actual totals of gambling donations are 3-4 times as high as what's disclosed, and that dark money is why we're saying there should be a ban, like there is on tobacco, on gambling donations.
Would another approach be to remove the cap? In other words, make every donation disclosable?
Absolutely.
That might be an interim step.
I think in a transparent society, that's exactly what should happen, because we get these figures. Well, it's now 18 months after the last election. We get them late. We don't know who's been buying who and which policy they've been buying and how they've been funding parties' positions. That is bad for democracy.
Now, you call it a corrupting influence. That implies illegality, but in point of fact, there is no illegality. It's just the system doesn't allow for the disclosure, which is why you're calling for a ban on donations. That's different.
Yes.
But why do you call it a corrupting influence?
Well, New South Wales has 10% of all the world's pokies, Australia 20% of all the world's pokies. Yeah. Pokies, which have losses of $12 billion a year, 23 is the total gambling losses, means that we have the greatest losses per head in gambling of any country in the world, $1,000 per capita. Now, I don't reckon you're losing $1,000, and I'm certainly not.
I haven't lost $1 through a poker machine.
Neither have I. So that's per capita, which actually hides the extraordinary pain of bankruptcy, kids going hungry, marriages breaking up, businesses going bankrupt, courts clogged. We have the highest number of pokies in the world, and that's why we don't ever get any change and reform. The public overwhelmingly want the machine slowed down. $1 bets, for example, and maximum $120 an hour losses. You can still buy your distraction, recreation time, but without massive damage, where in New South Wales you can load up $7,500 in one play. That reform the public wants. No state government will ever do it.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons it's corrupting is that they are literally beholden to the donations and the influence of the pokies lobby.
Yes, there is no doubt. Politicians are afraid of making reform in this area. They will make an argument, as do the various associations and the clubs themselves, you know, that they are community-based organisations. Firstly, they make donations to the community, and that's absolutely true by legislation. Some of that poker machine money goes to community groups. And then they'll also say, as you've indicated, look, for most people, it's just a harmless recreation.
Yes, so 2 points. Firstly, we now know that pokies are built for addiction. We keep saying, oh, it's a few problem individuals. It's less than 25% of the population that play the pokies, and 50 cents in every dollar going through a machine comes from someone addicted. That's the Productivity Commission's finding. They're built for addiction. We now know from MRI brain scans that the dopamine released playing the pokies hits the pleasure center of the brain with the force of cocaine. So that argument of it's just sort of harmless and there's a few pathetic people is the industry argument. No, the true argument is they're built for addiction. And Australians all know someone who has been affected by it. So The other argument, of course, about the clubs who are not-for-profits, but really, many of them aren't clubs. They're mini casinos with 300, 400, 500 machines, yes, and Taj Mahal Palace facilities, yes, can do all that because of just such easy money from addicted people, not having to pick up the consequences of the crime and the hunger and the bankruptcy. And the community benefit is the worst example of how they capture community groups with a drip feed of a few dollars. What should happen is the state government should tax them for the community benefit as it has in place and distribute that community benefit transparently according to need, not allowing pokies clubs to co-opt and capture desperate, great community groups who, when they take something from a club, are then required to be supportive of that club in the sense of never criticising pokies or the way the money damages the population around them. To give you an anecdote, when Richard Court was Premier, I addressed his cabinet because the hotels were saying, we want pokies in Western Australia. They have none outside the casino. And Richard Court said thanks to him, put his arm around me, said, don't worry, we're not going to get pokies. And I thought, oh, great, my argument convinced the Premier. He said, but I'll tell you why. I've been sailing all my life. I go to Sydney to compete in sailing competitions. The Sydney yacht clubs and others have fantastic bistros, huge staff, fantastic facilities. But he said, I noticed they always had lousy boats. The money doesn't get to the sport, Richard said. And the interesting thing about that is we have a benchmark of Western Australia where there aren't pokies, and it's got less than half of the problem gambling addiction that we eastern states have with pokies, and far greater sport, recreation and community participation without pokies. The argument that pokies bring you community and sport and grants to community groups is the corrupting argument.
Tim Costello is our guest on Open House, and this week, as part of the Alliance for Gambling Reform, he has called indeed for a ban on all political donations from gambling funds in all of its various forms. Tim Costello, you also during the week appeared at a Senate committee. This is the Senate committee that's looking over foreign donations, and Australians will be concerned about it because you don't want foreign money influencing our political process. We have enough influence on our own. But here's an issue for the charities. A number of charities have started saying, wait a minute, actually there are legitimate reasons that you're going to affect our charitable status, affect us as a charity, our ability to do charitable work, as an unintended consequence of any ban on foreign donations. Now, is that a real problem?
It's a huge problem. So the ban on foreign donations to anyone standing for election or third-party groups, it might be GetUp or others, I totally accept. There should be transparency if people are standing to become legislators with the power of choice on a whole range of agendas and politics, as you know better than me, ultimately is about who gets what they want and who misses out and how fair it is, and those who make those decisions should not be influenced by foreign donations.
Yes, totally. And this whole argument comes down to Sam Dastyari trying to, you know, against the tide, hold the line there in the Senate. Well, all of Australia said your position is untenable.
Yeah, totally. And I've called for a long time for that transparency. It goes to the political donations and gambling, by the way, which isn't transparent. But certainly on foreign monies, absolutely. But here's the catch. any charity that participated in political activities, so recommending a candidate, a party to win at an election, immediately under the Charities Commission loses its charitable status. Yep. And the wording now has been so widely cast in terms to catch charities, it means that if World Vision, as we do, says we should be more generous as a nation in our federal budgets giving to overseas aid, that then is defined as political. Donors to World Vision over $250 a year have to do a stat deck that they're not giving to an associated political party, or it's called an associated entity called World Vision, that advocated on increasing aid. But I'm not, no one in World Vision charity is standing for election. We're not legislators. We're actually doing our public cause. Now, the RSPCA advocate about animals. They're worried. Name any charity doing as its core business the concern that they have. It might be a homeless shelter who started giving out blankets and then said, why are there so many homeless on the street? Do some research, say, we don't have enough housing units for homeless, and start advocating on we need more housing units for homeless, suddenly are captured, treated as a associated entity with full political labelling, and their donors then have to sign stat decks, which will kill donations. We just know that.
You saying that because at the moment advocacy is permitted in this sense, that if it's not your major activity, let's say your World Vision, your major activity is relieving poverty, or St. Vincent de Paul, or Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, or whoever it might, Anglicare, your main activity. But if you issue a press release saying that we need to do more for homeless people, that's considered an ancillary purpose, and it's currently permitted. Are you saying there's a suggestion that that should be stopped?
The actual proposed legislation says any issue that could become an electoral issue. So this includes health, housing, increasing aid, animal welfare, child
marriage reform, abortion.
Even before writs are issued for an election, where you speak on that issue, that might be an election issue. So you've got to almost predict any possible issue. Your donors then have to, if they're giving over $250 a year, also be signing up to effectively a stat deck.
Well, that, of course, is quite unworkable and ridiculous. And it's very interesting that we're speaking about general charitable work. It also affects religious freedom issues.
Absolutely.
Because of those debates that I've just mentioned.
It profoundly affects freedom of speech and religious freedoms issues, and that's why you'll find the Catholic Archdiocese is totally opposed. I mean, it takes Stephen a special bit of genius, for the government to unite the IPA and green groups, to unite the Catholic Church and secular groups like Oxfam, but they've united everyone because we see exactly what you just said, that this is ridiculous.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.